In our second lesson this evening from St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus asks the question, "But who do you say that I am?" However, prior to discussing this, as well as noting a startling comment from Jesus to St. Peter, I would like to say something about the sequence, which is often forgotten, of some very relevant events. One of which was before Jesus' 33 years here on earth, and four which took place after Easter Day. The sequence is this. First of all, we had the Old Testament. Then Jesus, our Lord and Christ. The church followed that. The New Testament was written after that, and then the Holy Bible as we know it today. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and the others from the Old Testament, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul, James, and the others from the New Testament were most certainly inspired to write the books that they did. However, they were not stenographers. They were individuals, devout and intelligent, as you would expect. The Old Testament, of course, was written before the birth of Jesus. Then came the birth of Jesus in year one. The beginning of the church was at Pentecost, which means 50, so called because it was the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection on Easter Day, a Sunday, and 10 days after his ascension, a Thursday, which is depicted for us here in the upper section of the altar window, above the high altar. Many decades after Pentecost, the church collectively in council decided which books would or would not be an official part of the Holy Bible. The council of the church decided that all of the 39 books of the Old Testament should be included as they had been for centuries. And then the church began to consider what books ought to be part of it. For example, the church came very close to rejecting the Gospel according to St. John, strangely enough. They did, however, for example, reject the Gospel according to St. Thomas, leaving us with the 27 books of the New Testament as we know it today. Well, now, returning then from our second reading, Jesus and his 12 disciples were all together in the northern city of Caesarea Philippi at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, 4,000 kilometers east of the Atlantic Ocean. And it is likely the very farthest north that Jesus and his 12 disciples ever went. And what an amazing location for Jesus and his 12 disciples. It was the most secularized city in that part of the world. A military headquarters was there, and many, many people worshiped the god Pan, a patron of music, dancing, nature, flocks of sheep, and often associated with sexuality. Moreover, Pan was the god of theatrical criticism, and for that reason, our world panic, P-A-N-I-C, was derived from his name. Speaking as a dramaturge who has directed 35 plays and had hundreds of people audition for them, I can tell you that very often panic was an integral part of their having done so. This location leads us to ask Jesus' question, "Who do men say that I am?" Contemporary. Our world has many similar situations these many decades after, part of the contrast of our lives today. The answers that Jesus receives are notably John the Baptist, his cousin, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Their suggestions were very complimentary to those whom they named. Then we hear the question, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, said Peter. Surely this is a question that Jesus might ask any of us, and quite possibly everyone here tonight would answer something quite similar, but vast majorities of people do not. Some might even say that he was fictitious. More likely, they might think of him as a teacher, a guru, a sentimentalized religious icon, amongst other suggestions. In any event, it is a question for each of us to consider, and how we answer it is a reflection of our faith. Is the Jesus of history the Christ of faith? Some time ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, when I was on the subway, and I got up at the Queen Street stop and getting ready to get off at King Street, and I looked to my left, and there was a man about this tall, a very young man, a very handsome man, who had brownish gold facial hair and fairly long steps. And I looked up at him and I said, gosh, for a minute I thought that you were my boss. And he said, he looked down and smiled and said, he's my boss too. That's an acknowledgement, likewise, of who Jesus actually is. Then Jesus continues, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, which is followed by a series of promises. The building of the church and the rock on which the church is to be built is Peter himself, not his faith. But the church today throughout the world is divided as to what exactly Jesus meant. Protestants see this as a continued, that this would be continued through the church in the whole world. Anglican and Orthodox churches believe that this power is in the hands of the bishops of the church throughout the world. And the Roman Catholic Church sees this power as vested in the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. In any event, Peter is always listed first when we see any list of the apostles, and he, with the brothers James and John, was certainly part of that inner circle. Interestingly, then, we hear Jesus speak of his imminent suffering of many things, being killed and then raised from the dead. Peter then says, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And then Jesus speaks to him sternly, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. What a contrast from what Jesus had said previously. Then Jesus speaks about taking up the cross and following him. Taking up the cross is to remember that not one of us is the center of the universe, so to speak. It has to do with giving oneself rather than forever taking, of accepting responsibility rather than refusing it. The cross used in Jesus' day for executions can remind us of many things. Among them, that the vertical arm of the cross brings God to us and takes us to God, and that the horizontal arm of the cross brings us together in a common love of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. The Romans did not invent crucifixion, but they did perfect it. And a few years after the year 33, the Romans stopped using this horrible device on the grounds that it simply was too cruel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.